How you doing? I'm Tim Cocker, and this is a slightly different episode of the Radio Academy podcast where I'm going to be sat in the passenger seat with you. For this one, I'm going to let the boss take the reins because Aradhana Tyle Leach is the new managing director of the Radio Academy, a role in which she will, you know, as the Radio Academy does, champion and connect, support and uplift all of us in the radio and audio industry. And Aradhana, having been, well, let's have a look, an engineer at the BBC, involved in training and development, a strategic consultant in TV, in film, media, events and engagement, technology sectors too, the director of Radio TechCon, and honestly, a list of other involvements and accomplishments which would put most of us to shame. Aradhana was brave enough to take the hot seat at one of our recent summer social events, this one in London, where she fielded questions from Sylvie Carlos, one of our 30 under 30 class of 2022, and also questions from the audience of assembled guests and Radio Academy members. And Aradhana began by giving a sense of what has driven her to this role.
The thing that really excited me and still excites me is stories and storytelling and the impact that stories have on us as humans and our relationships and in society. And that's what excited me. And the thing was that I could do that as an engineer. You know, I was directly affecting getting stories out into the world. And, you know, my contribution was through the technology at the People's, is through finding the stories or producing the stories or the distribution side or whatever it is. And then the second thing that drove me to industry development is, well, are we doing it and how are we doing it? So the stories have impact if you are reaching people, if you're representing people, if you're reflecting their lived experience, if you're challenging them, if you're entertaining them, if you're driving emotion, mm-hmm. and if they keep coming back and keep exploring more and more and more and different things. So you can only do that if you've got a diverse range of voices and perspectives and approaches. So I think that's where I went from engineering, or something I didn't mention, I also produced independent films as a sort of a passion project, and I really loved it. The thing is, I personally could spend all my energy on making one film in a way that I felt was the right way to do it. I could do that on one film, but what about all the others? Maybe three people might see my short film in a festival somewhere. So that's the other thing that drove me to industry development, is actually where my skill is, and something that I really enjoy is looking at that bigger picture, that strategy, and thinking, well, actually, if we could work with the whole industry and get everybody to look at, you know, making sure everyone gets paid properly and making sure everyone gets an equal opportunity to get to work on that film, or to amplify their voice rather than telling them what their voice should be. And if everyone was safe and felt looked after, for me, I see that I can have an impact in this role in industry development with sort of joining up partnerships across the industry and having these discussions to move the whole industry and every organisation towards that point as well.
Typically, when we talk about radio and audio, we naturally think about our favourite presenters, right? Ideally, music presenters a lot of the time, and then producers are secondary, but we're missing a lot of others, which is how I think things like TechCon come in. And who else are we missing? Who else needs to be brought to the table more often?
Yeah, it's something that I feel really strongly about, and something that I have seen evolving really rapidly in our industry, but often less rapidly within organisations like the Radio Academy, to be completely honest. And I think at the same time that is changing. And for example, first engineer at the helm of the Radio Academy, like feeling proud. It's not that engineering is new. I mean, you know, what was it? Helen, the second employee of the BBC, was it? but, you know, just kind of recognising everybody that is in our industry. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I think the Radio Academy, for example, is doing that representation of every single area. What the Radio Academy, I believe, is here for is to support everybody who works in radio or audio. And then organisations like Radio TechCon are there as kind of the more sort of important places in terms of that really in-depth community engagement with those areas. So obviously engineering and the technical side is one of them. There's also, I think, you know, when we talk about working in audio and you talk about presenters or producers, well, actually more and more in radio, but especially in podcasting and other forms of audio, including streaming services, so many of those roles are all merging. You know, obviously you've got your presenters who are also producing their own shows, and you've got, you know, the engineers who are also presenters, and you've got journalists who maybe don't consider themselves an audio producer, but it's what they're doing. They're journalists, they're dedicated to news, and their medium is putting it out through a podcast or on the news, on a news show, on a radio programme. I think it's really important to also support, as an industry, all of the grassroots organisations, by which I mean community stations and, you know, community-led internet radio stations. A lot of podcasts are grassroots, to the level of it's a person who has a passion for an area and they don't see that represented anywhere else. Across that whole spectrum, it's really important that everybody working or paid or otherwise is supported in the industry, because again, it all drives our industry and it makes for more diverse content going out.
So training and development is one thing that keeps popping up that you keep coming back to. So for anyone who doesn't know, what is RAMP about? What does RAMP do?
So RAMP is the Radio Academy mentoring programme. I'm super proud that we're running this. We've run it for 2 years now. So as part of this kind of the strategy that the board sort of agreed to in 2020, it was looking at where are the gaps. So there is a bit of a glass ceiling around the mid-career level where it's really difficult to progress. And we've seen more recently as well, there's talk of skills gaps. It's difficult to find freelancers or staff people to do certain positions that aren't the entry level, but are, you know, maybe producer level or above. There was a frustration on one hand that, well, why aren't I getting those jobs? I've got all of these credits. I've been doing this job essentially. You know, I'm getting an assistant producer credit when I am producing, I'm researching, but I'm also running this podcast. So why aren't I getting those jobs? So RAMP looks at offering mentoring for people who are mid-career level. And it matches them with people who are quite senior in, you know, some very, very senior in the industry, but more importantly than that, that have this immense experience and often diverse experience. So the idea is that you come out of it, not necessarily 6 months later, you've suddenly got your dream job, but hopefully you feel more confident and more equipped to be able to take the steps you need to get to where you're going. And, you know, you might find that, well, I thought that this was the next job, but I just didn't realise how many different opportunities there are in audio, because, yeah, there's some traditional career paths, but, well, my career certainly hasn't been traditional. So there's many different ways to reach somewhere, and maybe you go off on a different path and you find, actually, that's what I wanted to do all along anyway.
So RAMP is it an annual scheme?
It is an annual scheme.
Okay.
So it'll be opening this autumn for next year.
Okay. Right. I'm going to be cheeky and ask this question, because I have a feeling that there might be a couple of us in this room who are on this. And this is a safe space, right?
Well, now the cameras have got off.
Even better. Managing Director, MD. Sounds like a very big role. I think we all agree, right? What does it actually entail?
It's a very good question. To me, it comes down to, well, firstly, what is the Radio Academy? And the Radio Academy is a charity. It's there to support the people who work in radio and audio. So it's a charity that promotes and celebrates excellence in audio. It's the people who do that. So we are there to support the people, which is everything that I believe in, everything I was talking about, industry development. So to be able to come to an organisation like the Radio Academy with such aligned values, and then to lead the Radio Academy, because honestly, that's what I thought the job was, like, I'm the boss. So to be able to lead the Radio Academy and to come and say, well, you know what, I don't think you are representing engineers enough. I don't feel represented. Well, I'm here now, so let's do something about that. Oh, well, somebody came to talk to me. Well, you know, you said you want to do something about sales, but you're not doing this, that, and the other. Oh, well, do you do that? Well, come and join us. Like, let's work on that together and see what we can do. So it's a lot of that, a lot of building partnerships. So I spend, you know, on a practical level, I spend a lot of my time talking to people, which is great because I love talking to people. And finding out what you do and seeing what we do and find out ways that we can mutually support each other. And also kind of on a practical level, we are a charity. So garnering support to you know, from individuals and from organisations who support what we do so that we can hold events like this that bring people together and the RAMP programme, the 30 Under 30 to celebrate younger talent. We've got the Radio Festival, the Radio Academy Festival coming up on the 12th of September. Date for your diaries, get your ticket here. So I spend a lot of my time working on that, looking at the programme and the schedule, working with our executive producer and chair and coordinator on, so what are the discussions that we should be having? What do we, you know, the audience and the festival is all of us. It's all of us who work in audio. Who do we need to be hearing from? What do we need to know? What are the debates that we should be having? And then if you really want to know, there's also the actual operational side, managing the finances. This weekend I went to our storage locker and picked up this lovely little box here. So, you know, kind of very, very hands-on. I mean, again, we all work in audio. We all know what it means to be hands-on.
So
we're kind of living the dream there as MD and carrying boxes around as well.
What would you like to achieve?
I'd really like to leave this position whenever that time comes, feeling that I've made a difference in people's lives, of the people who work in the audio industry. And by that, I mean, I want people to be saying, oh yes, the Radio Academy represents me. It supports me. I feel supported. I feel that our industry is better for having the Radio Academy there. And I want to broaden that. I want everybody in audio to be thinking that everyone feels that they can come and say, well, this is what I need. And for us to at least be able to have a conversation about how that person can be supported, whether it's because of the direct impact of the Radio Academy or because it's saying, oh, you want to do this? Oh, well, actually, have you spoken to Camilla, who runs Podio? Have you spoken to Lisa at ModTrack? Because they might be able to help with those. But, oh, actually, you need this. But, oh, well, have you talked to Chloe at Audio UK? Let me introduce you. Or why don't you go and see Anne and drop by Radio TechCon? And, you know, it's so amazing that so many of those people that I'm massively name-dropping are in the room, because that's all part of it. So I'd really love, that's what I hope for. So for kind of a very united industry that supports and represents everybody in the industry, and for us to all find where we slot together so that everybody goes away thinking, yeah, I feel good.
What is coming up with the Radio Academy that people should be putting in their diaries?
Well, the big one is the Radio Academy Festival. That's 12th of September. And I am really excited about that. The thing that's exciting me about the Radio Academy Festival is being able to go and actually hear from some of the people that you don't normally hear from, and those different perspectives. Something that excites me is actually, you know, we talk about, this is a method that's best for radio, this is best for in podcasting, this is better on a, you know, an internet streaming platform. How do all of those things work together? You know, what's best for this particular content or this particular person? So that's kind of a bit of a theme of drawing the connections between all of the different bits and pieces of audio that actually make up the industry and actually make pieces of audio. So it's all I'm going to say on it at the moment, but, you know, drawing those connections and teasing out, you know, the voices that we don't necessarily hear as much from.
Does anyone have any questions or anything that we should be discussing? Because now is the time.
I set up a audio post-production company in the first wave of COVID 3 years ago. And we're trying to support a growing pool of freelance engineers. I had two individuals come to me within the last 3 days. I'm interested to hear your views with a production and engineering mindset and operational mindset as well on this. Saying, we haven't necessarily got the money to employ one of your freelancers, but can you suggest any AI tools that we can bring in to get the sound of a certain podcast who we're wanting to aspire to be? I'm really interested to hear about where your thoughts are in that world. On the one hand, making efficiencies and workflows and processes smoother, faster, better, versus not wanting to erode the talents of the people who spent careers developing those, and where your kind of strategy is and mindset is in relation to that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I've really got a strategy for it yet, but leave it with me. But I do have views on it, because I think that it's really interesting, this discussion around, on one side, this sort of super excitement around, wow, AI, this is a new thing. And the fact that anyone gets to use it, it's not like, you know, when the first new shiny Apple phone came out and three people could afford it. You know, this has been rolled out really widely. So that's really exciting. And then in the same breath, you hear the fear, is this going to take my job? Is it going to make me redundant? Well, it can't do what I do. My personal view is, you know, I guess coming as someone who loves technology, it's all innovation, like technology innovation. Nobody would tell you now, no, you shouldn't be using Google. You should definitely walk to the library and find the book yourself. So there's a level of, well, actually, it's all new tools to be able to help you do your job better. I think there's also something about democratization as well. So once your iPhone became affordable and we could all have one, you can now record a podcast using your phone. You don't have to buy an expensive microphone and editing software, etc. You can start learning. And I don't know. I think, you know, there's the assistive versus the generative AI, which is, so assistive is looking at those things that help you do your job rather than replacing your job. Generative is things like, this AI tool can write a script now, so therefore we don't need you. My view on it is that we're still in very, very early days of understanding how to best use these tools and to see where they go. That doesn't make me scared of them. That makes me want to partake of them and to be part of that conversation that develops them and makes them important, makes them useful. The bit that I do think is far behind and the scary bit is how there's this complete lack of understanding and lack of regulation and even a lack of legal stance on a lot of content made with AI, but just the use of AI tools generally. That I find scary is how far behind that is compared to how quickly the technology is evolving. So I think that that's where the focus should be.
So imagine you're 12 months in. What would you like to see more of in the radio and audio community, and what would you like to see less of?
I suppose, you know, it's a bit of a cop-out to say I'd like to see more of this, but I would. You know, I think that this connection and community is really, really important. And I'd like to find, don't ask me how I'm going to do this yet, but I am really passionate about sort of the audio community across the whole of the UK. You know, I, as I said, I'm from Manchester and I moved to London for the job. And then I've stayed here ever since. It's very much my home. But I just want, I want more of that everywhere. Which is happening. You know, we've got our competing Birmingham event tonight. And we were in Leeds last week. I suppose, yeah, more connection, you know, all of this sort of everything that I'm talking about, the training and the development, the celebration, the lifting each other up, the equity. I really think a lot of that comes from community, and I want to see in that community, whatever that looks like, however it's done then, I want there to be people from every single different organisation at all the different levels. I want all of like the bosses from the biggest audio brands that you can think of to be in that room with, you know, all of us, with the people just coming into the industry, the ones running, you know, the student radio stations as well. Because if they're not seeing each other and talking to each other, I don't really think anything will change. I definitely want to see more of that in 12 months. Let's see at the Radio Academy Festival 2024. Let's see how it differs. And then you can assess whether I've achieved that or not. What I'd like to see a bit less of is, and again, speaking very candidly in our safe space, I think a bit less of the infighting, I'm going to call it, for want of a better word. And I don't mean competition or those commercial, you know, competitive differences. I think that's exciting. It's what drives us. Competition is really important. But when it comes to supporting our people, we should all be aligned on that. We should all be doing it together. And that doesn't mean that, oh, well, everyone else stop and everyone just do the Radio Academy. I'm all for having lots of different people all working towards boosting the industry. And I would like us to work together more and less of this. I don't think you do that. Well, you're not good at that. Or it's, you know, it's sort of a, what is it they say? A bit less fighting over the pie and more fighting towards just a bigger pie to begin with.
I think we're in safe hands, aren't we? As Aradhana put across so well, the Radio Academy exists to support you. There's the 30 under 30. That's open now. Nominate yourself or champion someone you work with. You can find out how to get involved in the Radio Academy mentoring program that was mentioned. All those learning resources and networking opportunities, details are on the website too, where you can also bag your ticket for the Radio Academy Festival. It's coming up fast, Tuesday, the 12th of September. Now, radioacademy.org, and you get all that for membership, which is for as little as £3 per month. It's a snip, innit? My thanks to Aradhana, obviously, but to Sylvie Carlos for hosting that event, to the team for capturing the audio so that I can share that with you, and to everyone that turned up, not just to the Summer Social in London, but to all of them around the country. And see you at the next one.